which is put on my heart. And I want to share the name of this title, this teaching tonight, called Seed Time. It's seed time. Hallelujah. You know, the Word tells us that he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Amen. Amen. And he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Amen. Amen. But there's a lot more in depth to what's going on. You know, the Lord had shared with me something that I don't know if I can express, but I'll do my best. When you know what he truly did for you is when you know who you are. You know, we all know Jesus died for us and so forth. We know he rose. But when you are there, when you really know what he did for you and me, you'll know who you are. And it's a hard thing to try and hold on to all the time, because we make it a common thing of, yes, Jesus died for me. But you know, if when you really know, that's why Paul said, you know, in other words, he enjoyed his sufferings because he wanted to suffer with Christ. Paul had a revelation of what Christ went through. That's how Paul knew who he was in Christ. Does everybody understand? When you really know the price that was really paid and the suffering and the torment, then you really will know who you are in Christ. How much his love is for you and me. Amen? I just wanted to share that. Go to Genesis 8 so we can get a little understanding. Oh, praise be to God. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Genesis 8 and verse 20. Let's read it together. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I what? Again destroy every living thing that as I had done. Now understand this. You know, the Lord was, of course, had to wipe out mankind because of the great sins, and it was going on, and there's a lot more in depth to that, but we're not going to teach you all that tonight. And when Noah finally built the altar to him and he offered up these clean animals, and it touched the heart of God, that, you know, this was his creation that he not only created but had to remove, because he couldn't allow it to go on the way it was. And he said, you know, I'm never going to do this again. And in verse 22 it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So he kept a continuous cycle that he wasn't going to interfere with. Does everybody understand that? So even though that he removed his creation, man, except for Noah, he was going to start a whole new breed of children, he wasn't going to remove the cycles of the day and night and the seed time and harvest. So we know that when there's a seed time, there's a harvest. In other words, when we know that there is seeding, it's an opportunity to sow, and a harvest is always what you're going to reap. So he always left that open. He did not change that cycle. Is everybody with me? So it's still going on right now, isn't it? Yeah. It's a continued thing that's constantly, a continuous cycle that's constantly repeating itself over and over. And isn't it a wonderful thing that when you miss something, you can always pick up and do it again? Amen? The seed time and harvest is constant for me and you. And the one thing that the Lord emphasizes about seeds, and before we can go any further, we need to go into another place and get an understanding about seeds. Okay? First of all, a seed, in definition, is a fertilized and ripened egg cell of a plant capable of sprouting to produce a new plant. Two things that a seed needs to grow. Yes. Oh, it needs good soil and water. It needs good soil and water. And, of course, sunlight always brings good soil, doesn't it? So, if I was to tell you sunlight and water, it wouldn't do any good, because it needs good soil and water. Spiritually, you and I are a seed, and the good soil represents the Word of God, and the water represents the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? But for you and I to allow the growth that we're supposed to be growing in Christ, we must have good soil and water so that the seed of Christ can grow. Does everybody understand that? Okay, praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. That's why the devil don't like people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because he knows that seed of Christ can't get where it's supposed to go. Does everybody get it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? It says what? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Praise God. Does everybody understand that? Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, because that is called the harvest. Everybody with me? Hallelujah. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. Hallelujah. So we're this temple carrying the seed, known as the seed of Christ. Not only must it be fed and watered to grow, but it must be maintained. Amen. It must be cared for. Right? Good. Go to Genesis 21. Now, seed reflects many meanings, not only spiritual, but physical. In Genesis 21. Go to verse 12. Read it with me, please. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. So we see here that he's calling a seed refers to a human or an offspring. Is everybody with me? Or a descendant. Okay, so a seed is an offspring or a descendant. The Bible says that you and I are the offsprings of Christ. We are the seeds of Christ. And in Romans 4, if you'll turn there, hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and Romans 4 verse 16, I guess. That looks good. Now, let's start at 14. Hallelujah. Did you bring your erasers? You'll learn. Praise God. In verse 14, let's read it. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now that's powerful, because it says the seed not only refers to a physical, but it refers to those who are of the faith of Abraham. And you and I are actually the seed, or the seed of Abraham also, aren't we? Amen. So by faith you become a seed of Abraham. And by faith this seed has an heir of promises. Amen. Glory to God. Go to Galatians 3. Oh, praise be to God. Let's start at verse... let's start at verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So we see that Christ, the anointed one, was actually the true seed of Abraham. But for others to be produced from Abraham, from Christ, he had to die. Is everybody with me? So the seed of Abraham was who? Jesus. Amen. Now, go to Matthew 13, because Jesus uses three parables expressing seeds. Matthew 13. In verse 3, read it with me, okay? Is everybody there? Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Now, a parable is a parallel between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. A parable is a parallel between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. What Jesus was doing was he was expressing things in a natural realm. When Jesus spoke in parables, he was actually bringing a picture into their imagination, in their mind, so that they could get understanding of the things of the spirit realm because they didn't have the spirit yet. Is everybody with me? So what he would do is he would speak in parables to actually draw a picture to them so they could get understanding. Did you ever hear a picture is worth a thousand words? There ain't no kidding about that. Amen? So he's actually bringing something to them, utilizing the things in the natural realm to give them a picture of the understanding of the kingdom of God. Okay? He said, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, meaning what? Good soil, right? And yielded what? Hallelujah. And some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, go to verse 18. Now he explains it to them. And he says again, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then who comes? The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the what? Wayside. So he brings the parable of what he just gave. Now he's expressing, talking about the wicked one. He's actually revealing the devil. He's revealing phases what you and I have to be careful of, and if we don't overcome these certain areas, that the seed is stolen. Amen. Now look at the next thing. He says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no what? Root where? In himself. You know why? The seed didn't get an opportunity to grow because he didn't take care of the soil and he didn't water it. Does everybody understand that? That's why when many people receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they think they just can run and do what they want to do. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is going to come and steal that seed. Amen. That's his job. Amen? Okay. That's called spiritual abortion. Something that's taken before it can be birthed. Hallelujah. And in verse 20 it says, but he who received the seed... Let's go to verse 21 again. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for what? A while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Does everybody get the understanding? He's not watering, and he's not taking care of the soil, is he? Let me tell you something. There's a wonderful saying. If you skip a day of prayer, you know it. If you skip 2 days of prayer, your family knows it. If you skip 3 days of prayer, the world knows it. Hello? So you and I must constantly protect that seed. It's our responsibility. Hallelujah. Let's go to another parable. In verse 24, this is the wheat and the tares. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, read it with me, please. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, do you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, What? An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Here we go again. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Whoa. Now he explains it. Go to verse 36. Or go to verse 37. Then Jesus answered and said to them, He who sows seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Wow. The enemy who sold them is the what? Do you see how many times he keeps bringing the devil? He was trying to reveal to them about the devil who was going to try to steal the seed. He said that the enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I think that's enough there. Now go to verse 31. Now he talks about the mustard seed. Is everybody there? Another parable he put forth, and he said to them, Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now a mustard seed is itty bitty bitty, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, so it must be the smallest of all seeds, isn't it? But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Hallelujah. So we see here now he talks about the mustard seed, doesn't he? But he talks about the littlest seed that can grow into a tree. And it, what does it do? This seed that grows into a tree makes a place for others. Do you understand that? Jesus said, I come. And I prepare, my Father's preparing a place for you. And I'm going to leave to go prepare a place for you to come. He was recognizing himself as that seed that was going to grow into a tree to be able to house all of us. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Go to John 12, please. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 12. Glory to God. In verse 23. Everybody there? Let's read it together, okay? But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And he was known as, he was expressing this as himself. And the Word tells us that we can do nothing without the Lord. That's why He must prune us so we can produce more fruit. Amen? Now, verse 25. Now He explains this. "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Wow. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Does everybody get it? So he expresses here, Jesus is saying, listen, my life is this grain. I'm the seed carrier. And I carry many seeds. And when I die, I will rise and produce offsprings. And we are now the offsprings of these seeds. Let me share something with you. Out of death comes life. Isn't it amazing that you and I are born to die? Because we must first come through this realm of death. You know, I look at my daughter, I say, man, you know, I love her. She's little, innocent, little flesh creature. You can see the flesh creature beginning to manifest more and more and more. Instead of laying hands on her once a time, sometimes you got to do it more than once. But you can see the fallen nature begin to manifest, you know. And as I was sharing before, that the Lord gave me a revelation about Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve were birth adults, weren't they? They weren't babies. And they didn't know that they were naked. My daughter doesn't know she's naked. She could care less. But there's going to be a time when she's going to be concerned about her nakedness. So Adam and Eve were the same way, except for they were grown, weren't they? Did you ever hear the saying, well, what came first, the egg or the chicken? You know? People still have a hard time with that. You know? But it's impossible for the egg to come because no one could ever nourish it. That's why the Lord sent adults as Adam and Eve to come into the world to nourish the babies. Does everybody get it? So the egg never came first, okay? Just to answer your question. But Jesus was expressing, now the Lord said to Adam and Eve, he said, listen, if you disobey me, you're going to die. And death means separation from God, doesn't it? So everything that was born from that period of time, everything that was birthed through them was birthed for death. So you and I were born to die so that we could have life. Does everybody get it? It doesn't make sense to the common mind. It's not supposed to. Everybody's trying to, you know, people fight to maintain their life, don't they? People are fighting to maintain their life now. They fight more to maintain their life now than to fight for a real cause. Because there's a greater cause. It's an eternal cause and not a temporary cause. And we can't get caught up in fighting for what is temporary. We must get caught up to start fighting for what's eternal. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians 15. So Jesus says, listen here, you want to follow me, you're going to have to die. you dead yet? Don't lie. First Corinthians 15. Praise God. Let's see, where are we going here? Verse 33. Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay, let's read this. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Wow. In other words, evil company is going to try and steal that seed. Does everybody get it? That's why the Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not hear of the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it what?
Dies.
Wow. I'll go back up a little bit here. Look what Paul says in verse 31. I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die what?
Daily.
Wow. You know, that's one of the hardest things as a believer, is to die to self. Drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff, that's easy. Those are demons. You just get rid of them. You know, oppression is a devil. You got to get rid of it. But the one thing you can't cast out is your flesh. You must take dominion over it. And there's a reason why. And we'll go a little bit deeper here. So, what you sow first must what?
Die,
and then it becomes what?
Alive.
Did you ever notice that sometimes, let me share this with you. Even when God blesses you with something, you must die to it. Because you know what happened? You'll try and maintain it. When God blesses you with something, you need to give it right back to Him. So it doesn't become a stumbling block to you. That way He is number one always. Even when we get married, nothing can come between you and God. Even your children and your dog and so forth. Your job and money. Nothing can get between you and God. Or becomes a stumbling block. And you know what happens? That seed stops getting fertilized. It stops getting fed. And the devil begins to knock on your door. And you start saying, why don't you just hand over that seed? And then we go through struggles and torment. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Oh, to God be the glory. Let's start at verse 1. Praise God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of... Wow, go to verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Wow. Sometimes when we're not a slave to sin, if you're not a slave to sin, you're a slave to Christ. You're a slave to either one or the other. And it's an everyday, every circumstance, every moment situation. Just like when people get delivered. People get delivered, the demons leave them. It doesn't mean that you're delivered permanently. It means you must maintain your deliverance now. When you get healed, it doesn't mean that you're healed permanently. You must maintain your healing now. If you don't think that those devils are going to try and come back and afflict you and bring doubt and fear, if you've quit the cigarettes, you better stay filled with the Spirit of God because those devils are going to come back. If you've gotten delivered from drugs or alcohol, you can bet that those demons are going to come back. But if you're not maintaining that seed and keeping it clean, now you've got to keep it clean even through your thoughts. When Eve went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the serpent said to her, you know, hey, did God say you can really die if you eat this stuff here? And she said, not only did he say we would die if we ate it, but we can't even touch it. So the Lord obviously emphasized about how to protect that seed, because Adam and Eve were the seeds of God. Does everybody get it? And what happened? She not only touched that unclean thing, but she ate it. And something happened. We'll talk about it in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to verse 7, okay? Let's read it together. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Hallelujah. That's pretty self-explanatory. Go to Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. Everybody there? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's read it, okay? Galatians 2, 17. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now understand this. In other words, what God has delivered you from, if you go back and build on them, he considers you a what? Transgressor. Amen.
verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow.
So he is, see, he's acknowledging, he got revelation that he died in Christ, and it's no longer him that lives, but Christ that lives in him. Does everybody understand that? He got the revelation of the exchange. He got the revelation of the sufferings of Christ. He got the revelation of what Jesus paid. And when he got the revelation of what Jesus did for him, he realized who he was in Christ. And we must get to that place. We must get to that place and understand what he truly did for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 1. See, because when you and I get to that place where it's no longer I that live, but he that lives within me, you know who you are. In Genesis 1, okay. Hallelujah. In verse 27. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Go on. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what was he telling them? Be fruitful and multiply. Why? He already supplied them with the seed. Watch this. Verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that what? Yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. So see, he already supplied them something that was going to grant them seed. Do you understand that? In verse 30, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything and he made that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. That's why six represents man in the Bible. Okay. Number six represents man in the Bible. That's why the number of Satan is 666, because he's going to come manifest. Anyways, we're not going to get into all that tonight. To God be the glory. So we see the Lord said, be what? Fruitful and multiply. That was that cycle, wasn't it? Didn't he continue it? Remember when he even destroyed Noah? I mean, all the way up to Noah and the flood. And he said he's going to still keep the seed time and harvest time. So he's going to keep that. So you and I are to be fruitful and multiply. How can you be fruitful unless you have seed? Right? But there is a tree that grows and bears fruit. That's why there's the tree of the good, the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Both of them bear fruit and have seed, don't they? Amen. And whatever tree you're eating from is determining where you go. Do you ever hear the saying, what you eat is who you are? Hallelujah. So if you eat of the tree of life, guess what? Amen. You become more and more in Christ's image, aren't you? But if you continue to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you become more of the serpent's image. Is everybody with me? See, now you are the Garden of Eden. And in you is the tree of life and the tree of death. You must make the choice of what fruit you're going to eat from, what tree you're going to eat from. In circumstances,
situations in everyday life and decisions you need to make determines what you're going to eat from. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 55. Let's go to start at verse 7. Let's read it, okay? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower. See, God supplies the seed for the sower. And bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Hallelujah. So the Lord supplies the seed for the sower. So everybody understands that the Lord supplies the seed for the sower. Now the seed is a representation of the word, right? Remember we just identified. And it says he sent his word and won't return void. It's going to accomplish what it was set to do, right? Now, he's going to do his part, but we got to do our part. Because the Lord supplied the seed for the sower. So he supplied the seed of Christ for me and you. Now what we do with it is up to us. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Let's go to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Now we're going to start getting to the teaching. Praise be to God. Genesis 3, praise be to God. Is everybody there? Now we know that Eve was talking to the serpent, and go to verse 4. Now you got to understand, Adam was not there, okay? Adam wasn't there when the serpent was talking to Eve. Because the Bible says that the serpent deceived Eve, and Eve deceived Adam. So how could she deceive Adam if Adam was there? Does everybody get it? He wasn't there. Adam would have known better. I hope so, anyway. Praise God. In verse 4. Let's read it together. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, he wasn't totally lying, but he twisted the truth. The reason why she would know good and evil is because he would have access to her. Come on. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desireth to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She ate the fruit which carries what? Seed. You know what the seed was? The serpent. It was his seed. Watch. She also gave to her husband with her. It didn't say he was with her there. He meant that he was in the garden. Okay? And he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. You know why? Because the eyes of both of them were closed to the spirit realm. And they were open to a whole nother realm. And they knew that they were what? Naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. In other words, okay, I better cover my own sin. Something's got to happen here. Now, on their way out of the garden, the Lord said, okay, everybody out of the pool. I said, that's it. Playtime's over. You guys bit the wrong bait. I asked you guys not to eat of that tree, and you did. Now, there must be judgment. So before they left the garden, the Lord said, okay, listen. At one time, the life of your flesh was in the spirit because your spirit, soul, and body were one. Now the life of your flesh is in the blood. So on the way out, because their flesh changed, everything changed. Because the serpent now became ruler of the world. The prince of air, power of darkness. Everything changed. So on the way out of the garden, the Lord said, hold on a minute, he killed an animal. And he gave them coverings of skin of an animal, of blood. And the reason why he did that was to bring them back covenant so that they can continue to multiply and be fruitful. Or else if they would have left the garden without that, they couldn't continue on. Does everybody understand that? So God kept his covenant with them because covenant is always through blood, through sacrifice, isn't it? So God was the first one to kill an animal. And he took the fig leaves off of them. He said, man, you can't cover yourself. Only I can cover you. Yeah. And he covered them. And you know what he was doing? He was trying to protect his seed that was still there. Those two kids, or adults, Adam and Eve, were the seed of God. And now they got corrupted. Does everybody understand that? Now they became two seeds. They became the seed of the serpent and the seed of God. And there would be a fight in their members forever. As there's a fight in your members now. Does everybody understand that? See, now your flesh is the seed of the serpent. Does everybody understand this? Your flesh is the seed of the serpent. That fruit that she bit, that carried the seeds, those seeds were the serpent. Now your flesh, because you and I are born in darkness, aren't we? Your father, my father, original father was the serpent. That's why you are adopted into the kingdom of God. That's why you must be born again. Does everybody get it? So that's why we still have a struggle, don't we? We still have a fight. It's not an outward fight, it's an inward fight. Why? Because the seed of the serpent is your flesh. It's not gone until we get a glorified body. It's still there. And the seed of the serpent still wants reign. Do you understand that? Okay. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Okay, where am I now? Genesis 3. Oh, let's go to 14. Genesis 3, 14. Wow. Okay, Lord. All right. 14, let's go there. So the Lord God said to the serpent, why? Because he conned them. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. Come on, read it with me. And more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go. Now, if he has to go on his belly, it means he was upright at one time, wasn't he? And you shall eat dust. Now, what are you made of? Hello. All the days of your life. And I will put enmity, which means hatred, between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Wow. So when the seed of Christ came in, me and you, hello? There's a fight going on. Now we understand that he's also speaking to this as a beginning when Jesus is going to come. Does everybody understand this? Now watch. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now he's talking about the day that Jesus will die on the cross. Amen? Go to Genesis 4. This is good. We need to read the first verse, eight verses. Now remember that Adam and Eve, they fell, right? They bit the fruit. The seed of the serpent now became their flesh. Does everybody understand it? So now you and I carry the seed of the serpent known as your flesh. Okay? Watch this. Now Adam knew Eve. In other words, they became one flesh and she got pregnant. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought a firstborn of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Why did he... Listen, Adam and Eve knew what pleased God. Do you understand that? They knew that the Lord already showed them how to please him by the Lord sacrificed the first animal. Life for life. Does everybody get it? So, Adam and Eve, come on, man. They lived long enough that they knew, and they had fellowship with God long enough, even after they were thrown out of the garden. All right? So that they taught their children. Now, Cain and Abel knew what pleased God. All right? So, Cain brought the offering of fruit. Abel brought the offering of life, an animal. The Lord accepted the offering of life because it was blood. The fruit offering he did not accept because it was not blood. Does everybody get it? Okay. Okay. Let's go to verse 4 again. Abel also brought the first fruit of firstborn of his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry. And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, in other words, why don't you go get an animal sacrifice and I'll accept it? You will be accepted. That's all he's saying is, listen, receive a little correction and direction and everything will work out. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. In other words, either you'll receive my correction or reject it. And its desire is for you. Why? Because there was sin in his members now because of the seed of the serpent. But you should rule over it. Does everybody get it? We should be taking dominion over our flesh. Now, go to verse 8. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Cain allowed the seed to manifest, the seed of the serpent. Now, look at this. Remember we just shared that a seed produces a plant or a tree, which produces a fruit, right? Cain was the fruit of the fallen sin of Adam and Eve. And what was the fruit? It produced the wickedness. Does everybody get it? And what did it do? It killed the righteous. Hello? Does everybody get that? There was their fruit. They had two sons. One was righteous and one was wicked. There was the two seed, the two fruit of each seed, the righteous seed and the wicked seed. And the wicked seed killed the righteous seed. Does everybody get it? And that's what the devil's been trying to do. He's trying to kill all mankind so that no righteous seed can make it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. So we... 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1. Praise be to God. Let's start at verse 17. And if you call on the Father who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in what? Fear, which means reverence. If you conduct yourself in reverence unto God, you're definitely going to continue to fertilize and water that seed, aren't you? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Hello? And what were our traditions from our... Didn't the Lord say this? Listen, if your fathers being evil give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? And he was talking about getting the Holy Spirit. Amen. He told the Pharisees and Sadducees, you're from beneath, I'm from above. He let them know, your father is the liar, the serpent, but my father is the King of glory. And verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of what?
Corruptible
seed, that's the seed of the serpent, but incorruptible through the Word of God. And who's the Word of God? Jesus, because he's known as the seed, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as... What does he say? All what? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of a man is the flower of the grass. Grass withers, and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Does everybody get it? Talks about your flesh, doesn't he? Born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, or righteous seed. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Glory, hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Hold on a second. Am I in the right place? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll forgive you. Don't worry. I think it is. No. It's neither one of them. Hallelujah. It's Galatians chapter 6.
So you're reading
Told you that I asked if you brought your eraser. Galatians chapter 6. Praise God. Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together in verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Why? Because if he's sowing to his flesh, he's watering the seed. Does everybody get it? That means you're going to reap corruption. Because you're going to take that seed and you're going to eat of its fruit. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Does everybody get it? Because you're going to either eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. Whatever one you eat of, you're going to produce fruit from it. Does everybody get it? Because you're taking the fruit from it, but it has seeds in it, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Does everybody get that? So, sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. In other words, what are you doing? Sowing to bad soil. Sowing to the Spirit reaps life. You're sowing to good soil. Hallelujah. Go to Numbers 21. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, Egypt means world. The word Egypt in the Bible means worldliness. Okay? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. So they were getting sick and tired of the spiritual thing. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. The Lord said, that's enough. Okay. And he sent serpents to them. Do you know the serpents are still here, but you can't see them? And they like to bite us. That's why it's important where you go and what you do. People, places, and things. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So in other words, God was going to heal them. Amen? So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now that's how we got the medical insignias. Does everybody understand that? That are on the ambulances and so forth. That's where all they came from. See, a lot of this stuff is biblical, but people just don't know it because the devil don't want people to know it. The Bible says that the devil, the ruler of this world, blinds the people, right? Okay, so we see that
The people were bit by the serpents, weren't they? Amen? And the serpents are still trying to bite you, if you let them. So as long as you're walking according to the will and the way of God, He's going to protect you from those serpents. You understand that? But we must protect that seed that's been imparted in us. It's our responsibility. God has given us the ways to do it. Okay? Go to John 3. Glory to God. Everybody all right? You getting it? Y'all want to slow to your flesh or to the spirit? Hallelujah. In verse 13. Read it with me, please. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he was reminding them, because they knew about the Old Testament, he was reminding them that he was going to become the serpent. Man, you got to understand what Jesus did for me and you. Watch this. Come on, read it with me. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen, the word believe means to follow. You can't say you believe and not follow. You're a liar. You can't make one day it. So when you choose not to follow, you're actually saying, no, I'm not believing today. Amen? Then you may believe the next day. But when you're not believing and you're not following, you're sowing and you're watering that serpent seed in you and at your flesh. And you don't want it to produce fruit. But it will. Amen? That's called reaping corruption. Okay. In verse 16, now listen, watch this. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because they were the offspring of the serpent. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. Does everybody understand that now? Hallelujah. So Jesus was to become the serpent and take of his seeds, of the serpent's seed, in his own flesh, known as sin. Hang it on a tree or wood, just like what Moses did in the wilderness with the serpent, right? So that when you look upon it, or when you follow him, you will live. Does everybody understand that? That was a great price he paid for me and you. He became the serpent for me and you. Go to Galatians 3. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. Praise be to God. In verse 13, would you read it with me? 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we see here, cursed, Jesus was cursed, anyone who's hanging on a tree, right? Jesus was crushed to produce seed for me and you. He actually crushed the corruptible seed and allowed his righteous seed to come forth and produce more seed for me and you. Does everybody understand that? He made the exchange for the corruptible seed in exchange for the righteous seed. Now, a seed makes a plant on a tree that produces fruit, right? The fruit brings forth nutrients, doesn't it? Now, if it's bad fruit, it brings bad nutrients. If it's good fruit, it brings good nutrients, isn't it? It's either nutrients of giving of life or nutrients of giving in death. Depending on the tree, the fruit dies, produces more seed, and the cycle repeats itself. Does everybody understand that? Now, so Jesus was crushed for me and you. And John 14:6, the Bible says that Jesus is, he said, I am the way, truth, and life. I want to give you three examples. And John 6:35, write this down. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What had to be crushed? The grain. That's why he's known as the way. Through the grain. In John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. Is everybody with me? John 15:1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. What had to be crushed? The grape. To bring what? Truth. Amen. He said, I am the true vine. It brought truth. John 11:25. He said, I am the resurrection and life. What had to be crushed? The olive. Didn't they use the olive oil for what? Pouring the anointing. That's known as life. Is everybody with me? Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. The grain had to be crushed for the way, because his body had to be broken, didn't it? He was known as the what? Bread of life. When he was on the cross, and after he died, where did he go? He went to hell, right? Because he was the true vine. And grapes had to be crushed. Because you and I now know the truth. In 11:25, he says that he was a resurrection and life. And the olive had to be crushed. Because olive oil is used for anointing oil, which brings life. Amen. In Galatians 5, and we'll end here. So he was crushed to fulfill the way, the truth, and the life for me and you. He became the serpent for me and you. That we would have dominion over it. Does everybody get it? He's not been removed yet. The seed of the serpent of your flesh has not been removed. But you're able to crush. Remember we read in Genesis that the two seeds would hate each other and one would crush the head and bruise the foot. That was Jesus on the cross, crushing the head of the serpent and bruising his foot. Okay? When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? It's because he became the serpent. He took on all the sins of man. And God cannot dwell with man, with sin. Amen? When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What did he do? He said, I commit my spirit into your hands. That's when the grape was crushed. Galatians 5. In verse 22. Is everybody there? Let's all read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now listen, that means that's the tree of life. The fruit of the Spirit is acknowledgement of the tree of life, who is the seed of Christ in me and you. Amen? Read verse 24. And those who are Christ or walking in the Spirit have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hello. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Does everybody get it? So if you're sowing to your flesh, you're going to water that seed and you're going to have trouble. But if you're sowing to the Spirit, you're crucifying that flesh that's carrying the seed of the serpent. And you'll have life. Amen? Remember the price that Jesus paid for me and you. He was crushed for the way. He was crushed for the truth. And he was crushed for life. For me and you. The three foods that Israel is very prompt on is grain, is grapes, and is olives. Those three were crushed for me and you, and Jesus was every one of them. Amen? Remember, he became the serpent for me and you. So let us not walk in vain. We must know who we are in Christ. When you know what he's done for you, you'll know who you are. Amen? Amen.